Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live for Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, May the 4th. And we have a very big show in store for all of our listeners tonight. I do want to start out the show. First of all, let me introduce our co-host, Jay M.J. Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thanks, Sharon. Good to be here.
Okay, always good to have you. But I do want to start out the show with some thoughts and prayers tonight. For three NASCAR folks that are dealing with some pretty heavy-duty stuff right now, starting with Holly Kane, a NASCAR writer over at NASCAR.com. She's been going through a number of surgeries this week and is battling cancer. So our thoughts and prayers are definitely going out to her as she deals with that, not just now, but has been dealing with that for quite some time. Also, it was announced this week that John Andretti, a lot of us remember watching John Andretti race in NASCAR. He announced this week that he's been dealing with stage 4 colon cancer. So, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. And then finally, Sam Bass, a NASCAR artist that many of us are familiar with, is dealing with a couple of really major things going on in his life. He, too, has been battling some cancer and a number of cancers, in fact. And he has stage 5 kidney disease requiring dialysis and possibly even a transplant, and as well as for his pancreas. So that's kind of big news. But on top of all of that, he's had some pretty heavy-duty medical bills, and he went through a bankruptcy auction this week, which is pretty tough to go through even when you're healthy. So to be going through all of that and to be dealing with the diseases as well, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to Sam Bass and his family. He does some incredible artistry featuring a lot of our NASCAR stars, so really, really sad news on all three fronts.
Yeah, it's a shame we got to start the show that way, but you know the NASCAR community as a whole always rallies around its family. You know, it's a complete family, so they're supported. That's for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely, there's a lot of prayers and thoughts going out for everyone who is dealing with these types of diseases and many more. And another thing that I think he's dealt with, Sam Bass, is diabetes as well. So he's got multiple health issues going on along with everything else. But I wanted to start the show off with that because I know we've got a lot to talk about tonight. I didn't want to leave the show on a sad note. So we're going to start off on a sad note, but we're going to build up to some other good things that are going on within NASCAR. Starting with this week, the Can-Am Pro Series is going to be racing at South Boston Speedway, which is pretty fantastic. They haven't raced there in quite a few years, and they're returning back to that track, and what a great time for them to be doing that, Jay, with Harrison Burton just won the last race at Bristol, and now he's going to be heading here to South Boston to race at a track that's very, very special to his family.
Oh, absolutely, being from there. I notice it is the 4th, you know, may the 4th be with you. You got Star Wars on your mind there, but... Harrison Burton took over the points lead and is the only driver to be in the top 5 in all 3 of the races this year. And it's a doubleheader, so it should be quite interesting.
Yes, it's a doubleheader. It's the Twin 100s that will be taking place for the whosyourdriver.org. And so Harrison Burton, of course, is coming off his first win, as we mentioned earlier. He's the 16-year-old from Huntersville, North Carolina. He is the son of NBC Sports Network broadcaster and analyst Jeff Burton. He's the nephew of the Daytona 500 winner Ward Burton and the cousin of Jeb Burton, who we know has raced in the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series several times. So it's really great to see him doing really well and coming into this track. This is going to be a 0.4-mile banked asphalt oval that these drivers are going to be racing on this week. And it's going to be interesting to see who comes out a winner. It's been 6 years since they've raced at South Boston Speedway. And every time they've raced there, there's been a different driver winning. And, in fact, there's a couple of people that are going to be racing this weekend that are going to be people who are very familiar with South Boston. That includes Matt Bowling and Peyton Sellers. So it's going to be interesting to see how Harrison stacks up with these two drivers who are also very familiar with that track.
I saw that Peyton Sellers was on the entry list. We haven't seen him for a while, so it's good to see him back running.
Absolutely. He has two K&N Pro Series wins in 44 prior starts in the series. He's going to be in the number 18 this weekend, fielded by Hunt Sellers Racing, and he's part owner of that team. And in two career K&N Pro Series East starts at South Boston, he's finished third in the final 2007 series standings, and he's never finished worse than third at his home track, where he's also won the pole for the inaugural race, which took place in 2007. So, yeah, it is going to be great to see Peyton Sellers behind the wheel this weekend in that number 18 Toyota.
Another one I'm looking forward to watching. You know, we've talked about keeping an eye on certain ones is Hunter Bayes. You know, he's right there behind Harrison Burton in the points. One of only three drivers to have three top tens in the first three starts.
Absolutely. Him and the other driver who is in that category, you mentioned one of three drivers, Harrison Burton, Hunter Bayes. The third one, of course, is Todd Gilliland, who we know is racing in both series this year and is third in the series point standings. Certainly all drivers to keep your eyes on this weekend. Any other drivers you're watching?
Well, being that you had him on the show a couple weeks ago, Zane Smith, kind of becoming a fan of his. He's got two top tens in his two starts, so he only has two starts, but he's top ten in both of them. So I think he's another one that could be a future star as they come through the ranks.
Absolutely. Now, Matt Bowling, I mentioned him earlier, he's the 2016 national champion, and he's making his series debut. his series debut in Ted Marsh's number 31 Whelan Engineering Chevrolet. He scored one of the biggest wins of his career at South Boston in the 2014 Denny Hamlin Short Track Showdown. A lot of fans have watched that because a lot of the big-name stars race in that event. And in this particular event, he was able to win against Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin. And that's a big thrill for a lot of these drivers when they're able to do that type of thing.
You know, and that's how a lot of drivers actually get noticed and get moved up into some of the top series. You talk about, you know, Kyle Busch with Eric Jones at the Snowball Derby in Pensacola. And I'm trying to think who the one Kevin Harvick battled in a K&N Pro Series in Iowa. You know, when they go door to door with them and get beat by them or at least run, you know, right with them, they take notice of that and they pass that name on up to the owners.
Absolutely. Now, another driver who is at kind of, this is a hometown track for him, is Travis Miller. He's from Chesapeake, Virginia, and he's racing for MDM Motorsports, which is the team that Harrison Burton drives with, along with Vinny Miller. He has 9 career starts in the series, and none since 2015. He made 9 career starts in the series and none since 2015 when he competed in 9 races with a best finish of 14th, which he did at both Bristol and Dover that same season. So along with Matt Bowling and Peyton Sellers, count Travis Miller in as one of the Virginia natives racing the twin features this weekend at South Boston.
That's it. One more that I'd like to mention. And we're mm-hmm. I'm gonna plan on hitting when we get to the ARCA series as well as Spencer Davis, also 2 top tens and 2 starts. And like I said, we'll talk about him a little bit more when we get to the ARCA series.
Okay, and Spencer is racing at South Boston as well as at Talladega.
Yes.
Okay. That's going to be a busy weekend for him if he's doing that, because he's going to be racing in the ARCA Racing Series on Friday in the Talladega race, and he's also, I guess, racing. I'm looking for the entry list here. He's also going to be racing in the.
I made a mistake there. He is not on the entry list.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Spencer Davis is racing here this weekend.
I apologize.
Okay,
I thought he was on the entry list.
Okay, yeah, we will. Okay, we will clear that up then. Spencer Davis is not racing the Can-Am Pro Series race, but he will be racing that ARCA race in Talladega this weekend. So. Watch for him definitely to be racing there. Are there any other drivers that you're looking at, though?
Kind of interested to see how Ronnie Bassett does. You know, he started out the year strong with the win, has kind of fallen back as Harrison Burton, Hunter Bays, and Todd Gillen have upped their game, I guess. You know, but he's still 4th in points. See how he comes out of this. Again, with the 2 points races in one day, you know, there could be a big shift in points, so.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought him up because he was the series points leader going into this, going into the race at Bristol. And Harrison Burton, of course, won that race and took over the series point standings as a result. So I look for him to really try to make up some ground this weekend when they head out here to South Boston. So definitely a driver to keep your eye on this weekend. Okay. There's quite a few drivers I just want for fans to keep their eyes on this weekend. I also want to remind fans to set your DVRs because this race is taking place this Saturday, May the 6th, and race 1 will start at about 7 p.m. Eastern time. Race 2 is expected to start at 9:30 Eastern time, but this race is also going to be broadcast on, both of those races will be broadcast on NBCSN, and check your local listings for exactly when that's going to take place. Normally they put that here, but for some reason I don't see it listed. But definitely keep your eye on your local listings for NBCSN. I'm going to guess that those races will run sometime on Thursday, and you'll want to definitely set your DVRs for that event. Because this is going to be a fun one with 2 races, 2 points-paying races taking place on the same day, similar to what they did out there in the West with having a doubleheader.
That's right. They do that out in Irwindale.
Mm-hmm. And they sure did. So if you're looking at these drivers, who's your favorite to win this weekend, Jay?
You know, for the win, I'm still looking for Todd Gilliland to start winning on the east side like he does on the west side. And it's one of those, the experience, I mean, he's only, what, 16, but he's been doing this for 2-3 years now. Doing the back-to-back races, I think that favors somebody that's used to that. So I'm going to go with Gilliland.
Okay, Gilliland's a great choice. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with somebody who I think is going to be a hometown favorite. Although he's never raced at this track, I don't think that's going to slow him down. He's got plenty of relatives that have raced at that track. And so I'm going to go with Harrison Burton being a back-to-back winner in the Can-Am Pro Series East.
Could make it a three-time winner if he wins them both.
Well, that's right. If he wins both of them, he's going to be a three-time winner. You're right. And since there are two races, who's your backup driver?
Ooh.
I caught you off guard with that. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. No, it's just, I'd have to, as a when I say personal favorite, a fan favorite, I would have to say Chase Purdy's from Meridian, Mississippi. So.
Okay. And for me, I think it's going to have to be one of the home state drivers. I think I'm going to go with Peyton Sellers, who's had some really good finishes at that track. I think he's going to try to go for a win this weekend as well. So I'll say Peyton Sellers is definitely another driver that could win this weekend.
And with his history
on
the track, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's definitely going to be a fun race to watch. And again, I want to remind fans, you can follow along with all of the race action at the NASCAR Home Tracks website. And not only do they give you play-by-play what's going on there, it is run by Speed 51. And you know they always do a great job of keeping track of what's going on during live races. So definitely tune in to NASCAR Home Tracks for that race when it takes place this weekend on May 6th. Now, we want to get into some news and notes for the Camping World Truck Series. They're not racing again this weekend, but we're getting close to the next time they're going to be on the track, which I believe will be next weekend, Friday, May the 12th. For the Toyota Tundra 250 at Kansas Speedway. Again, they've had kind of a long break here. I know they're anxious to get back to racing, but that's not going to happen for another week. So I want to start with some news from Travis Pastrana. We saw him racing a few years ago in NASCAR. He's decided he wants to come back and give it another shot. And so he's teaming up with Nice Motorsports to race some select NASCAR events this season. He participated in both Xfinity and Camping World Truck Series tests at Charlotte Motor Speedway that took place on Tuesday, and he'll drive in the Camping World Truck Series at Las Vegas Motor Speedway in September on the 30th, and that will be for the Las Vegas 350. So definitely stay tuned for that. There's some other races that I believe he's planning to race in, but we'll have to stay tuned to see exactly what that's going to be. He finished 16th at Las Vegas Motor Speedway in the Rhino Linings 350 back in 2015 when he was racing. And it's going to be fun to see what Travis Pastrana does with a return to NASCAR.
Well, and as you said, he's only got two truck starts, 15th and a 16th place finish. He did do a total of 42 in the Xfinity Series, 42 starts there with four top tens and one pole. So that was, I believe, with Roush Racing at the time.
Yes, indeed. I think he's a fan favorite. A lot of fans follow Travis Pastrana. He's been racing in the global rallycross racing, so he has some of that under his belt. And I think he's really, it sounds like he's really looking forward to getting back behind the wheel of a NASCAR truck in September. So that'll be fun to watch. Now, next, we're going to go over kind of a series rookie report. There's a lot of rookies racing in the Camping World Truck Series this season. And we have several here that we're going to kind of highlight. And I'm going to start with Kaz Grala. Jay, he raced for the first time at Daytona as a Sunoco rookie this year with GMS Racing and won that event. I'm sure that was the thrill of his career. And he, right now, he sits fifth in the Camping World Truck Series point standings, but he definitely is looking to make some headway as the series returns back to action at Kansas.
Yeah, another one, the driving for Kyle Busch is Noah Gregson. He's in seventh in the point standings with his top five there at Martinsville. His fourth place finish was his best in the Camping World Truck Series so far in his career.
Absolutely, and he skyrocketed in the Rookie of the Year point standings from 7th to 2nd with his top five finish that he took at Martinsville Speedway earlier this year as well. Now, another driver on this list is Chase Briscoe. A lot of you who listen to Fan for Racing know that we've had all three of those drivers and the next driver as well on our show numerous times. Chase Briscoe won the ARCA Racing Series Championship last season with Cunningham Motorsports, and he's had a really consistent start to his rookie season in the series for the Camping World Truck Series. Three consecutive top 25 starts this season. He's driving with Brad Keselowski Racing and is currently third in the rookie point standings this season.
And these guys are stepping into some of the, you know, the top rides in the truck series. The next one we're going to talk about, Grant Enfinger. He's fourth in the Rookie of the Year point standings with a strong start to the season. The top 17 through all three races and led four laps. And he would currently be in the playoffs with Thor Sport Racing if it were to start today,
yeah,
which it doesn't.
And he would actually take over that last playoff spot if they were to start the playoffs today. But we all know there's a long way to go for that to happen, and a lot can happen between now and then. Now, our next driver here is Cody Coughlin. Cody Coughlin's run quite a bit in the ARCA Racing Series as well. He's now racing with Thor Sport Racing, and he's been really a wizard in place differential during his first full-time Camping World Truck Series season. His average finish this season is 15.3 with an average place differential of plus 4.7, meaning that he's able to advance his position in every race so far by 4.7 spots. He's fifth in the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings, so it'll be great to see if Cody can continue to make progress as the season moves forward.
He's one I've liked. I know he did some spot racing for Kyle Busch in previous years. He's one I've always liked, and I'd like to see him getting into NASCAR. Sitting sixth in the Rookie of the Year points is Wendell Chavis. Started out strong. He's got three top 25s through his first three races. First full-time Camping World Truck Series start with Premium Motorsports. And I think that's one that a little bit more underfunded team. So to see him up there is a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's great to put a spotlight on some of these drivers that don't always have, are not always highlighted in NASCAR, so that fans kind of know who these folks are. Next on our list is Austin Cindric, and again, he's raced both the K&N Pro Series as well as the ARCA Racing Series. He's with Brad Keselowski Racing this season, and he's had a little bit of a bumpy start to his first full-time season with the trucks. He has two top 25 finishes through three races. He's seventh in the series point standings, but he's certainly hoping to get his team on track when they return to Kansas.
He's another one when last year with the shakeup at Brad Keselowski Racing, you know, people wondered how they were going to be able to recover. They signed two good drivers that are going to put on a heck of a show this year.
Absolutely.
The next one we
got, go ahead.
His standings is Stuart Friesen, Canadian born.
Actually, I think he's eight.
I don't have the full list here.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
You're right, it says seventh here.
Yeah, I said I don't have the NASCAR listing of them, but he's getting in his first full-time season with Halmar Friesen Racing. And again, these underfunded teams, you know, there's truck series, you got maybe 14, 15 that are top solid teams week in and week out. So to see these guys competing with them on a weekly basis in some underfunded teams, I think is super good for the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And I apologize to you, Jay. He is seventh in the series in the rookie standings. So that is correct. He's also Canadian-born, which is kind of a cool, neat little thing to know about Stuart Friesen.
Go ahead.
You wonder if him and what?
Well, because with the notes I got, it shows him and Cindric both in seventh, and then the next one in ninth. I wonder if they're tied in points, if that's why we're missing one.
They might
one
be tied
eight.
In points. And that's exactly why I was a little confused there, too, because I remember just saying that Austin Cindric was seventh in the series point standings, or in the Sunoco rookie standings. So I'm thinking that there must be a tie there. So that same thing caught my eye, and it must be a point tie between those two drivers. Our next driver is Justin Haley. And Justin Haley, if you've been following us again, you'll know that Justin Haley was the K&N Pro Series East champion last year. He's racing with GMS Racing this season, and he's ninth in the rookie standings. He's raced one NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race this season, finishing 26th at Martinsville. He's one of those younger guys that was too young to race at Daytona, but I think you'll see some good things from Justin Haley this season, especially as the season progresses, because he's a quick study when it comes to racing.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of those that every chance he gets to race, he just gets better and better.
Absolutely, and I think we'll see some good things from him. Another driver who has really been climbing the NASCAR ladder very quickly, and he had a big announcement this week as well, is Christopher Bell. He's going to be racing, I believe, at seven races in the NASCAR Xfinity Series this season with Joe Gibbs Racing. So that will kind of broaden his horizon as well. He's also racing full-time in the Camping World Truck Series. So that's a pretty big deal for Christopher Bell.
Yeah, I saw where they announced that this week. His first race will be May 27th at Charlotte.
That's right. We're going to be able to see him real quick in the number 18 Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing and during their race weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. That's over the Memorial Day weekend. Big, big racing weekend for race fans. And then later on, he's going to drive the number 20 Toyota for JGR on June 24th at Iowa Speedway and again on September 8th at Richmond International Speedway.
Looking forward to that. I know last year they kind of expected him to be the breakout star, and William Byron came out of nowhere, and Christopher Bell kind of got overlooked, but he's going to move right up behind William Byron and up through the ranks.
Absolutely. Now he's going to finish out his last four races in the Xfinity Series in the number 18 Toyota at Kansas Speedway on October 21st, Texas Motor Speedway on November 4th, and Phoenix International Raceway on November 14th. The final race, of course, will be Homestead Miami Speedway on November 18th. So those last four races will happen October and beyond. For Christopher Bell. So I think that's a great opportunity for him. And it'll be the third NASCAR series that Bell's competed in during his racing career and the second national series that he's raced in. In 2015, Bell raced two NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series West races, finishing a season best second at Iowa Speedway. And in that same year, he ran seven Camping World Truck Series events for Kyle Busch Motorsports, winning his first race. A lot of us will remember this at Eldora Speedway on dirt. And, of course, a lot of us know that Christopher Bell's really good on dirt, winning in the Chili Bowl a few times as well.
Oh, he's definitely had some experience on dirt for sure. Talking about last year, in 2016, he started 23 Camping World Truck Series races for Kyle Busch Motorsports with the one race win at Gateway Motorsports Park in the St. Louis area. He scored 9 top fives and 17 top tens. Made the playoffs in his rookie season and made it to the championship four at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Pretty impressive stats, huh?
He's been at it again this year in the series. As you said, he's still running full-time this year through three races. He has one win already in Atlanta this time and two top fives and all three top tens with 201 laps led.
Absolutely. Christopher Bell has some impressive stats, and I think we're going to see a lot of great things from him for years to come. So definitely looking forward to seeing more about Christopher Bell as he enters the Xfinity Series with those seven races this season. Now, a quick rundown of Kansas Speedway. There's been 16 races there, 12 pole winners. The youngest pole winner, interestingly enough, is Erik Jones. He did that in 2015 at 18 years, 10 months, and 8 days. The oldest pole winner, Ron Hornaday Jr. in 2010 at 51 years, 10 months, and 12 days. So 15 race winners in 16 races at Kansas Speedway is pretty amazing.
Yeah. That's, the youngest winner there is William Byron at 18 years, 5 months, and 7 days. In 2016, and the oldest winner, another veteran of the series, the gunslinger Mike Skinner, at 51 years, 9 months, and 30 days, in 2009. And an amazing thing to me here is there's only been two races won from the pole or the first starting position. The last one
that
being Kyle Busch. Yeah, the last one being Kyle Busch in 2014, which that's not surprising.
No, it's not. Kyle Busch is pretty impressive, to say the least. Now, the race record there at that track, Matt Crafton holds that from 2015 at 139.857 miles per hour, when the qualifying record, again, is held by Erik Jones. It just tells you how impressive he is. 179.396 miles per hour. And, again, he held that record on the same day as Matt Crafton's record, May 8th of 2015. So just some stats for you to be aware of as we head into Kansas Speedway next week in the Camping World Truck Series. It's a lot of fun things. I think it's one of the funnest races to watch, is the series to watch, is the Camping World Truck Series, and I'm sure all of these drivers are biting at the bit to be back behind the wheel and on the track.
That's right. That's right. We'll finally actually be able to preview the drivers and what their stats are on the track, rather than saying, "Oh, they're racing in a few weeks. We'll give you a few notes."
Exactly. Exactly. Now, right now, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the ARCA Racing Series, because the ARCA Racing Series is going to be racing this weekend also at Talladega. They're racing Friday, May 5th, and I actually, let me back up here just a minute. I want to tell you the stats for, well, no, I don't want to do that, because we've already told you they're racing next week. But the ARCA Racing Series, again, I'm going to go forward here again. They're racing this Friday, May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Talladega Super Speedway. So that's the General Tire 200. What's kind of cool about this particular race is fans will be able to watch it live on Fox Sports 1 at that time. So definitely you'll want to mark your calendars, set your DVRs, and make sure that you're tuning in for this race. There's a lot of really great drivers entered in this race. We had Tom Hessert on the show this past week, as well as Dalton Sargent, who is the latest winner of the ARCA Racing Series at Salem Speedway. So there's two names to watch right there.
That's right. And these lower series have been doing pretty good about picking guys to watch. On the Cup side, not so much.
That's okay. Who are some other people you think we should keep our eyes on this weekend
Race? When you come to restrictor plates, you got to look at Bobby Gerhart. 31 starts at Talladega with one win, 7 top fives, 12 top tens, 3 poles. And he's obviously a speedway racer. At Daytona, he's got 30 starts with 8 wins, 10 top fives, and 15 top tens, and 4 poles. He knows what he's doing when it comes to super speedways.
Absolutely. Another driver that I think you should keep your eye on is Austin Terrio. Austin Terrio leads the series point standings. He had a great showing in the number 52 Ken Schrader racing car at Daytona, which put him in that spot. So he's definitely a driver to keep your eye on as well.
Now, as you mentioned, Tom Hessert, between him and Bobby Gerhart, laps led at Talladega, there's Gerhart at 167 and Tom Hessert at 149. Gerhart has the win at Talladega. They both have one, actually, but he normally works his way through the field. Hessert's led that many laps in only 9 starts versus Bobby Gerhart's 31.
Right. So definitely a couple of drivers. And Hessert has victories at that track as well. He's won at Talladega before. So that definitely makes him one of the drivers to keep an eye on.
All right, and
as you mentioned, so does Gerhart.
Yeah, they each have one at Talladega. Another one that I said to keep an eye on even last week at Bristol at the short track, but on a super speedway, is going to be Gus Dean.
Yes.
Let me see there. Here we go. He also has the one win at Talladega and one start, leading 21 laps.
Okay. Another driver who right now he's tied for that second place spot with Dalton Sargent in the series point standings is Kyle Weatherman. He's a great driver and definitely a driver to keep your eye on this weekend. He's going to be racing this weekend. Let me just get my notes here.
Yes, he is on
Kyle
the entry
Weatherman
list.
Is racing with Mason. Yeah, he's racing the number 78 car for Mason Mitchell Motorsports. And again, that's a big car for that organization, with Mason Mitchell having driven that car before and kind of being on top of the pit box. He's going to be a driver to keep an eye on. There's another driver racing for Mason Mitchell this weekend to keep your eye on, and that is Leilanti Munter. A lot of fans know her. She's raced before in the ARCA Racing Series, and she's racing the number 98 for Mason Mitchell Motorsports this weekend.
You know, I don't remember if it was on NASCAR America, especially they did on her. She comes from Rochester, Minnesota, with the veganpowered.org sponsorship. And she talked about her passion for that. She has turned down other bigger sponsorship deals because they didn't fit with what she was trying to do, you know, which is in this sport is a really tough thing to do is turn down money. I mean, in any case, but especially in the
Absolutely.
Sport of racing. But, yeah, she has turned down some bigger dollar sponsorships because they didn't fit with her person, lifestyle, and the message she was trying to put out.
Absolutely. Now, one driver who is doing a little bit of double duty here, we were just talking about Justin. Well, he's not doing double duty this weekend, but he's racing in the Camping World Truck Series this season, but he's also racing in the ARCA Racing Series this week in the number 28 car, Justin Haley, with MDM Motorsports, who we also mentioned is participating in the Can-Am Pro Series. He'll be in that number 28 car this weekend at Talladega.
Also doing the same thing is Noah Gregson. He'll be racing for Billy Venturini Motorsports.
And he'll be in the number 55 car this weekend with the Musselman's Big Cup Applesauce as his sponsor. Another driver to kind of keep an eye on, Billy Chastain. That name probably sounds familiar to some of the Xfinity Series fans. He'll be driving the number 75 car this weekend at Talladega. So he may be a driver to keep your eye on, too.
You mentioned earlier talking about Spencer Davis. He'll be making his debut for the ARCA Series first of seven races he's going to be running, again with Bill Venturini Motorsports. He is a NASCAR Next driver, 18 years old, and we've talked about this all 3 weeks that I've been doing the show with you. Venturini Motorsports, they've been fielding cars for 35 years, and you look at some of the guys that they've helped develop and have had in their cars. Joey Logano, Eric Jones, William Byron, Justin Allgaier, Alex Bowman, Brian Scott, Ryan Blaney, Brendan Poole, Daniel Suarez, and Brandon Jones.
It's impressive, isn't it?
Yes, that was something I came across when I started looking at that. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it really is impressive. And Spencer Davis, I think, will do really well in his Toyota with Venturini Motorsports as well. Venturini is great at driver development, as you're pointing out. And Spencer's going to be in the number 15 for Venturini this weekend. So let's take a look at this and tell me who you think is your favorites to win for this weekend. Who's your favorite to win?
I'm gonna go with Bobby Gearhart. Again, Super Speedways, he's tough to beat if he doesn't get involved in the big one, which we're talking about Talladega, so the big one's always a factor. But if he can avoid that, I think Bobby Gearhart's the man.
Okay. I think that's a good definitely a good point. Now, another driver I think you got to keep your eye on this weekend has got to be Austin Theriault. Again, he did really well at Daytona. This is another super speedway track, so I'm going to say Austin Terrio is the guy to keep your eye on this weekend. But there are so many other drivers that could really do well. Daytona or Talladega, just like Daytona, is one of those tracks that you just never know because anything can happen.
That's right. It could be one of these that we've barely talked about at all, because if they're in the right place at the right time.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot of things can happen. So definitely keep your eye on this ARCA Racing Series event this weekend. Again, it will be televised on Fox Sports 1 starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can also follow along at thearcaracing.com as far as keeping track of what's going on with live timing and scoring. And they always do a great job with a chat feature at that site as well. And they also have a radio broadcast of what's going on during the race if you're not in front of the television at that time. Okay, so with that, I think we're ready now to move on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series. They are going to be racing this weekend at Talladega in the Sparks Energy 300. They'll race Saturday, May the 6th. Your Fox affiliate will have the pre-race information starting at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The start of the race should be sometime around 1 p.m., and you can also follow along on radio via MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. They will be racing 113 laps, covering 300.58 miles. And stage one will end on lap 25, stage two on lap 50, and the final stage, of course, on the final lap, 113. So a lot to look forward to this weekend in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Let's start with some of the people that are on let's start with the Monster Energy Series drivers that are going to be participating this weekend at Talladega.
All right. Let me see here. I believe there are six of them. Yep. All right. Monster Energy Cup drivers that are going to be double-dipping, as they call it, will be Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Joey Logano, Eric Almirola, and Casey Kane.
Okay, so they're racing both events this weekend, and I think we'll see perhaps one of them really competing for that win. The Restrictor Plate Kings at this track they have done really well at Talladega in the Xfinity Series. You've got people like, and these are people who are racing in Xfinity. We know them as Cup drivers, but they also raced in Xfinity Series race and did really well there. Dale Earnhardt, we all know how good he is at Talladega. Tony Stewart does extremely well in the Xfinity Series at both tracks, meaning Talladega and Daytona. They both have 8 wins each. Joey Logano leads all active drivers in the Xfinity Series with 3 wins at Talladega. And then you have Elliott Sadler and Ryan Reed, who both have 2 wins at Talladega. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens, because what I like about this is it tells you not only the Cup drivers who did well at that track, but there's a couple of aces in the Xfinity Series that are racing for points this season that are aces there as well.
And they provide some serious excitement with them running three wide at times, sometimes even 4 wide, but they've provided 5 of the top 5 closest Xfinity margins of victory at Dega, one of which is tied for the overall in NASCAR history. But the 1999 Talladega tied with the 1996 Milwaukee event as the 2 closest finishes in Xfinity Series history since the inception of electronic scoring. at 0.002.
That's pretty close.
That's right. 1999 was 0.002. 1994 was 0.008. 2009 was 0.030. 2012, 0.034. And 2007 was 0.052.
Absolutely. You know, when you go to Talladega, there's a chance of having a very close finish, and that's what fans love to see at any racetrack. But Talladega certainly has a history of that. Now, as far as the Sunoco Rookie of the Year update, William Byron continues to hold that lead after Richmond, but Daniel Hemric really closed the gap there from 17 markers following Bristol down to just 5 points after Richmond. Cole Custer is third on that list, down 28 points. Matt Tift down 32 points in fourth. And then Spencer Gallagher, who is down 37 points in fifth. They have their work really cut out for them if they want to contend against the leader, William Byron. He's really done well this season, and I expect we'll see good things from him continuing. In fact, I'm not sure. He's kind of young yet. I guess he's been cleared to race at Talladega.
Well, apparently so.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so next up we have Ben Kennedy, who has signed with Richard Childress Racing. He's making a series debut with GMS Racing this weekend at Talladega. And, of course, we all know that Ben Kennedy is the grandson of the NASCAR founder, Bill France Sr. He's also the grandson he's the great-grandson of Bill France Sr., the grandson of Bill France Jr., and he is the son of Kathleen France Kennedy. He's returning to competition at Talladega after signing a multi-year race deal with Richard Childress Racing for 9 races, and he's going to be racing with GMS Racing for 12 more races. So we're going to see Ben Kennedy quite a bit here in the Xfinity series.
He was one of them that I was kind of sad to see leave the truck series. He didn't have the solid ride there. He did have a solid ride there, and I think giving another year, he could have battled for the championship. I know he was in the final 8, but didn't do so well down the stretch. So I was kind of looking forward to seeing him do a second year in the trucks, but we'll see what he can do in the Xfinity series now.
Absolutely. He's going to be racing the number 2 for Richard Childress Racing this weekend, and his crew chief is going to be Justin Alexander. So his first start with GMS Racing will not be until May the 27th during that Memorial Day weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. They're going to be expanding to a second car in order to accommodate Kennedy, who will be working with his former Camping World Truck Series crew chief, Jeff Stankiewicz. So I'm sure that's going to be a good matchup there. As you mentioned, he did really well in the Camping World Truck Series. He's just made one other Xfinity Series start, and that was at Iowa Speedway, where he started 6th and finished 10th. So, again, that's pretty impressive. I think we'll see good things from Ben Kennedy starting with this weekend in his RCR car.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he doesn't have a full-time ride so he can run for the championship. I don't know what that number of races. I don't know what the Xfinity number is for number of starts that makes you ineligible for Rookie of the Year if you can get a full-time ride for next year.
I think that number is 7.
Okay,
so Daniel Hemric continues to take some momentum with him. He had a really good race this last showing out at Richmond International Raceway. He's now up to fourth, and he's looking for more when he gets into Talladega. Again, he's racing with Richard Childress Racing and Daniel Hemric, who since Daytona has the last seven races has moved up 22 spots in the Xfinity Series point standings from 26th to 4th heading into Talladega this weekend. That's really impressive. And I think we're going to continue to see great things from Daniel Hemric.
Absolutely. You've already seen it. He picked up the dash for cash. He had the pole. And again, he was another one that, seeing drive for Brad Keselowski, I enjoyed in the Truck Series. Now he's moving here into the Xfinity. Kind of like to see him battle for that championship in the trucks, but you know these guys, you know, are doing one year in these series and then moving on because they're just that talented. But he's
amazing.
A Kannapolis, North Carolina native. As you mentioned, making a great comeback in the series points. He was caught up in an incident at Daytona and got a place 31st. And then was 26th in the rank, 26th place in the rankings because of his stage points that he had earned. So he wasn't quite as far back as the 31st finishing. But since then, he's rallied to post two top fives and four top tens, and I said won the dash for cash bonus at Bristol in the process. So now he sits fourth in points with his best finish of third this past weekend at Richmond.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, keep in mind, he's never raced at Talladega before, so this is going to be a track debut for Daniel Hemric. But he does have, and that's just in the series, he does have some Talladega track experience because he's made two Camping World Truck Series starts at the Super Speedway where he's posted his best finish of 11th. So even though he's not raced there in the Xfinity Series, he has raced there in the Camping World Truck Series. Another favorite to watch this weekend has to be Justin Allgaier. He moved into second in the series point standings, and he's also one of the few drivers that have two Dash for Cash showings.
Yeah, he's definitely got some money in his pocket. Although I think I heard him mention that he shares it with the crew, so I don't know if it all went in his pocket. I'm sure he kept some for himself, but the junior motorsports driver got his second one. Could have both been wins. Little unfortunate situation. I know he was a little frustrated with NASCAR and some things, but is how it is.
He wasn't happy with his second place finish. He wanted more for sure. So I think he's definitely going to be looking for more out here at Talladega.
Yeah, absolutely. At Richmond, again, he had the dominating performance leading 157 laps, and as you mentioned, got second. But it did move him up to second in the points, only 41 points back from his junior motorsports teammate, Elliott Sadler.
Absolutely. He's going to look to be closing up that points gap for sure. 41 points is a lot to make up, but, with good finishes, you can make that happen. It's still early in the season. He's made six starts at Talladega, posting two top fives and four top tens. He also has a best average finish among the championship contenders. The third best average finish among championship contenders on restrictor plates over the last three seasons. So look for Justin Allgaier to be on a mission this weekend at Talladega Super Speedway.
Well, I think it'll definitely come down to not only closing the gap, but it's going to be really hard because I think you're going to have to battle Elliott Sadler as the points leader. And also a good history at Talladega. Excuse me.
He certainly does. With a little more than a race win's worth of points, 41 between himself and Justin Allgaier, he's going to want to expand that points lead at Talladega. And as you mentioned, he successfully defended if he successfully defends his win this weekend, because he's the defending winner, he's going to tie Martin Truex Jr. for the series most wins at Talladega with three each. Sadler, as we mentioned earlier, has two Talladega wins, which ties him with Joe Nemechek and Joey Logano for the second most wins at Talladega in the Xfinity Series. He also becomes just the second driver in series history to win consecutive races at Talladega. And again, that would make him join Martin Truex Jr., who won three straight between 2004 and 2006. So Elliott Sadler can really make some history this weekend if he can pull off a win at Talladega.
Yeah, and he's been one of the best at restrictor plate tracks, as we mentioned, both Daytona and Talladega over the last three seasons. During that time, the NASCAR Xfinity Series has run 10 restrictor plate races, and Elliott Sadler has two, and Ryan Reed, two, are the only two drivers with multiple wins. And earlier this season, in the season opening Daytona race, he won the first two stages, leading a race-high 40 laps before he got caught in the multi-car accident late in the race. He could have added to that total there.
Mm-hmm. Sadler's made eight series starts at Talladega, posting two poles, two wins, and three top fives with five top tens. His average finish at the track, 11.5. So Elliott Sadler will certainly be a driver to watch this weekend, too. He's the defending winner. He wants to make some history, and I think he has a good chance of doing that this weekend at Talladega Super Speedway. So with that, who is your favorite to win at Talladega?
I'm going to go with the serious dark horse and go with Brendan Poole. Yeah, we talked about Sadler winning last year. That's right. Well, with Sadler winning that one last year, if you remember, that was one of those close ones because they both pulled up underneath the flag stand waiting for the checkered flag while NASCAR reviewed the tapes.
I do remember that. And I think that's a very good pick because he's going to be looking for some redemption, if you will, after that and be wanting to post a victory in the Xfinity Series. Another driver, and I mentioned him earlier, I think he's going to be on a mission this weekend, is Justin Allgaier. I think he's going to be looking to get a victory at Talladega Super Speedway. It's going to be interesting to see if he's able to pull off that win. That would be a big deal for Justin Allgaier.
Just so I'm not left totally out with that dark horse, I'll pick one of the Cup guys that are running down there. I'll go with Ty Dillon as my other
pick.
Okay.
Ty Dillon is your other pick? Okay, if I'm looking at the Cup guys, it's going to be interesting. I know we're going to be talking about this a little bit later. But Joey Logano is going to be in this race, Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Eric Almirola, and Casey Kane. Joey Logano has to be looked at as one of those favorites. But I think I'm going to sway toward Daniel Suarez. I think Daniel Suarez has been really good on restrictor plates, and I think I'm going to give him the edge here for maybe coming up with that victory as one of the Cup guys to be the winner.
Well, and he showed he can definitely run with them. It was Michigan when he went toe-to-toe with Kyle and beat out Kyle, so he can run at top speeds with these guys.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun to watch that race. Again, it's going to be this weekend on Saturday, Saturday afternoon. You'll want to tune in for the Sparks Energy 300. Again, pre-race starts at 12:30 p.m. on your local Fox affiliate, and then at 1 p.m. The race should start. So next up on our agenda is the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. They will be racing the Geico 500 this Sunday, May the 7th. Again, your local Fox affiliate will cover the have the television coverage for you starting at 1:30 p.m. with the pre-race festivities. The race should start sometime around 2 p.m. Eastern time, and the radio coverage will be on MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR radio. They will be racing 188 laps, covering a distance of 500.8 miles. Stage 1 will end on lap 55, Stage 2 on lap 110, and, of course, the final stage on lap 188. So definitely tune in for that Geico 500. Now, as we look at the Monster Energy Cup Series, the Geico 500 had the most passes for the lead, so don't be surprised to see that happening again this year. A year ago in the Geico 500, there were 213 passes for the lead throughout the race. And that's not just counting the lead changes at the start-finish line. That tops all of the other races that took place in 2016. So we could see that happening again this weekend at Talladega.
Oh, without a doubt.
Another big thing that's happening this weekend is the 30th anniversary of Bill Elliott's qualifying record. 30 years ago, the NASCAR Hall of Famer Bill Elliott set the NASCAR qualifying record at the track, and this kind of set in motion a whole number of changes within NASCAR and really brought about the whole restrictor plate thing at Talladega. His record at that track was 212.809 miles per hour at Talladega Super Speedway. So Chase Elliott, his son, is taking to the track this Sunday in the Geico 500. And in his first two career starts, Chase has finished 5th and 12th, respectively. He led a total of 36 laps. And he won the Coors Light Pole Award in the 2016 spring race. So it looks like he's stepping right into daddy's shoes there.
Well, I know a lot of people, when they look at where he might pick up that first victory, you know, he's been on two poles at Daytona, run really good there as well. So I think it certainly could come at a super speedway.
Absolutely. And Talladega is a track where his dad has that standing record that nobody's been able to beat. So that's a 30-year-old record. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what Chase does at Talladega. Now, let's take a look at the points standings, because Larson increased his lead. Truex moved into second. But there was some movement in those point standings at Richmond, a race that set the spring track record for the most green flag passes, 2,495 to be exact. Martin Truex jumped from third to second following his 10th place showing there, and Chase Briscoe dropped one spot to third after finishing 24th. So Richmond was not necessarily a good track for Chase. He's got a chance to make up some ground here at Talladega. So the current top five feature drivers from all three manufacturers. Kyle Larson in a Chevrolet. Martin Truex is second in a Toyota, followed by Elliott in a Chevrolet. Joey Logano in a Ford, and Brad Keselowski in a Ford. And we're going to talk about, there's going to be some more shakeups in that regard that we will talk about a little bit later with regard to the penalties that have been taking place with Team Penske. But stay tuned for that. We will get to that.
And with that, we're talking about the playoff points, and again, we'll talk about some adjustments to that. But Keselowski currently leads with 11 playoff points. Martin Truex Jr. and Jimmy Johnson each have 10, and they're followed by Larson with 7, and Logano did have 6, but will now be back to 1.
Exactly. So those points are going to continue to be shook up as we head into Talladega this weekend. There's also the young guns at Dega because, as we've already talked about, a lot of these young guns are very, very talented on super speedways. And I'm talking about drivers like Austin Dillon, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, and Trevor Blaine, all in the top 10 that could be contenders this weekend at Talladega.
Right, and it's tough to compare it with stats because, again, they don't have many starts to begin with. But you look at Blaney in five starts, has one top five, two top tens. Believe Austin Dillon would have the most starts. He's got seven with one top five, two top tens. And Chase, as you said, has the two. And Trevor Bain. Where are my stats on Bain? Oh, there we go. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, a lot will remember his amazing victory at Daytona a few years back. Also as a restrictor plate track.
That's right, with the Wood Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Trevor Bain does have a few more starts than Austin Dillon. He's got 12 starts. With two top tens.
Okay. But I think one driver that everybody's going to have to contend with at Talladega Super Speedway is someone known as the Talladega Tornado. Dale Jr. Gets ready to make his final mark at one of his favorite tracks in the Geico 500 this weekend. Earnhardt has six wins at Talladega. He's tied with Jeff Gordon's total for second all time. Of course, his dad holds the record with 10 victories at that track. In addition to his victories, Dale Jr. has 12 top fives, 16 top tens, an average finish of 15.4, and among active drivers, he claims the second best driver rating at 92. His third best average running position. He's third best in the average running position at 14.4. Since he announcing his retirement at the end of this season, he's kind of struggled so far. He had one top 10 showing with a fifth place finish at Texas, but right now he's 24th in the Series Cup standings. I know he wants to make an improvement on that, and Talladega is a great opportunity for him to advance his series point standings.
Yeah, I don't see him staying there. I know a lot of fans that seem to bandwagon when somebody's doing good, they seem to be kind of bandwagoning, jumping off the bandwagon right now, being kind of hard on Junior, but I don't think he's going to stay there. I still think he makes it into the chase this year or into the playoffs.
Yeah. I think he's just off to a slow start. I think there's a lot that can happen here, and Talladega is a great track for him to make up some ground. Hopefully we'll see that happen for him this weekend. Now, Team Penske's had a very hot streak also at Talladega. It'll be interesting to see what they do there this weekend. Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski both have combined to win four of the last five races at that track. Logano won in the fall of 2015 and the fall of 2016. Keselowski won the fall of 2014 and the spring of 2016. So these guys are certainly going to be drivers to watch this weekend. And a lot would argue that Keselowski is the top driver in the Cup Series at that track. In 16 career starts there, he owns four wins, six top fives, nine top tens, and an average finish of 15.4, which is identical to what it was for Dale Jr. He's third best in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Team Penske has five wins at Talladega. Richard Childress Racing and Hendrick Motorsports lead all the teams with 12 wins each at that track. So definitely some competition there between the teams.
Well, and then, like you said, the other half of that is Richmond winner Joey Logano, who's going for his second straight Dega victory at age 26. He won his first race of the season Sunday at Richmond in his 300th start. But he'll try to win again here this weekend at Talladega. And he took the checkered flag the last two fall races at Talladega, but claims only two top 10 finishes in the 2.66-mile behemoth of a track in the spring race. He finished ninth in 2009 and 10th in 2011. Those were both with when he was with Joe Gibbs Racing. Overall, the 22 Team Penske has two wins, four top fives, six top tens, and an 18.7 average finish in his 16 starts at Talladega.
Absolutely, and Joey Logano has been doing quite well. And you know, it's been really good to see him doing well, because a lot of people thought he struggled as he came into racing in NASCAR's top three. But these last few seasons, he's really found his stride. From Middletown, Connecticut, that win at Richmond put an exclamation point to a strong start that he's had this season. He ranks fourth in the Monster Energy Series standings. He's 65 points behind Kyle Larson. And as you mentioned earlier, he had six playoff points for the fifth most in the series, but five of those points are being taken away with the penalty that occurred after NASCAR found some issues with his car in the R&D center this week. Again, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, so you'll want to stay tuned for that conversation. Four drivers besides Logano have won in their 300th start. Those drivers include Rusty Wallace at Atlanta in 1993, along with active competitors Casey Kane at Charlotte in 2012, Kyle Busch at Texas in 2013, and Denny Hamlin at Talladega in 2014. None of them have won in their 301st start. So that doesn't bode well for Joey Logano coming in and winning at Talladega. But it wouldn't be the first time that he's broken a streak like that.
I was going to say, if somebody can get it done, Joey's definitely one that can do it, especially at Talladega.
Absolutely. But let's talk about what happened with Joey Logano, because NASCAR took his car to the R&D center, and they found some issues with the car as far as the back end suspension, and so they issued some pretty heavy penalties to Logano and his team. They're suspending the crew chief, Todd Gordon, for two cup races, and they have fined him $50,000. NASCAR also docked Logano 25 driver points, and they docked the team owner also 25 owner's points. That 25-point penalty actually drops Logano from fourth, where we've been talking about him being in the point standings, to fifth. He is now fifth in the point standings after that penalty. They cited again the rear-end suspension issue for the penalty, and apparently the truck trailing arm and spacer pinion angle shams were not conforming to regulations. That's why they're giving that penalty to this team. Now, you'll remember that's the second major penalty for Team Penske this year because NASCAR suspended Brad Keselowski's crew chief, Paul Wolf, for three races. They fined him $65,000 for a post-race violation at Phoenix. And they also docked Keselowski 35 driver points and the team 35 owner points. That team appealed. They went to a final appeal, which was upheld on Tuesday. So Paul Wolf will not be at Talladega this weekend with Brad Keselowski. So that kind of multiplies Team Penske's issues going into the race this weekend. Now, on top of all of those penalties, NASCAR also announced that Denny Hamlin's crew chief Mike Wheeler was fined $10,000 this week for them not having one lug nut properly installed. It's really a big deal. Now, from Team Penske, they issued a statement this week, and their statement goes as follows. We understand and accept the penalty that was communicated to us today by NASCAR following last weekend's victory at Richmond, by the number 22 car at Richmond. We are disappointed by the notice. However, we do not plan to appeal the penalty. The number 22 team remains focused on competing for wins as we work toward the NASCAR playoffs and the championship. Race engineer Miles Stanley will serve as Joey Logano's crew chief this weekend at Talladega Super Speedway, while Greg Irwin will help call the race strategy on Sunday. So, again, that's the latest news, and that's pretty big news for Team Penske, with two major penalties coming almost back-to-back.
One huge thing that we talked about a little bit earlier, but you didn't mention there, is being that Joey Logano won the race, it's considered what the NASCAR has called an encumbered win, which means
the win
itself, they're not taking the win away from him, but he doesn't automatically qualify for a playoff berth. You know, that win isn't really there. They're not stripping him of the win, but they're considering it an encumbered win, which means that win does not qualify him for the playoffs, as well as the five playoff points. Those also will not come into play.
Absolutely. And so he gets the distinct honor of being the first encumbered victor since that ruling has been put into place. And so Joey Logano will need to get another win to be in the playoffs for this season. So this win does not qualify him for those playoffs. And that's a big deal for that organization. It's a big deal even within the NASCAR world, because it's the first time we've seen this happen with an encumbered win that prevents a driver from qualifying for the playoffs.
Yeah, now he can still, even if he doesn't get another win, being fifth in points, he should still stay in that range of the top 16 in points. I don't see him dropping that far out, but it's definitely advantageous to go in with a win in those playoff points.
Absolutely. And to lose the 25 points plus the 5 points just really makes it a big difference. It dropped him one place in the point standings, but Logano, I know Logano's going to want to redeem himself. It's going to be interesting to see how these cars race in the upcoming races, because you know that both of these cars are going to be looked at over and over and over again as the season continues this year. They're probably going to have the biggest microscope of all the teams on them for the remainder of the season. Now, Tom Jensen wrote an article today about this issue, and he I think rightly points out that both sides can be argued that these guys are cheating, and it's good that NASCAR is catching them, and you know, it's good that crew chiefs are being tossed out of for a couple of races, it's just a horrible thing that's happened here, and we need to look at these guys as cheaters of the sport. On the other side of that coin, he points out, again, rightly so, that this is something that's been going on for years and years, where crew chiefs have been pushing the envelope to try to get the best out of their cars for their drivers. And so it's not so unexpected that something like this should happen in today's NASCAR. So you tell me, Jay, where do you fall on this side of the debate? Are they cheaters, or is it just business as usual?
It is business as usual. I think Dave Moody made reference to the quote from Junior Johnson earlier today on his show. If you're not cheating, you're not competing, because you got to be right there on that edge. You know, we talked about the margin to victories and the close finishes. You need that in order to compete today.
Well, and again, I do think that that's what they're paid the big bucks to do, is to find every opportunity they can possibly find in order to make their cars faster than the rest of the competition. Obviously, both of those crew chiefs have done that, Todd Gordon and Paul Wolf, but they were caught. And when you're caught, there's a heavy price to pay. And they're certainly going to be paying that over these next few races. Paul Wolf, by the way, was suspended for 3 races. He was able to kind of be at the racetrack because they were appealing the penalty, but he is going to have to serve a 3-race penalty, and they're going to have a replacement for Paul Wolf at the track as well. So, again, doing what they're paid to do, but there's a risk versus reward when they push the envelope over the edge, and that's what we're seeing happening at Team Penske this week.
And I know, as I think Ray Everham, that gets the credit for what they call being a rule maker, not a rule breaker, you know, working in that gray area, and it's not a rule against it until you get caught, and then there's a rule against it.
Exactly, and you can bet your booties there'll be a rule here, too. That'll come up as a result of you know, the advantage that they found. But with NASCAR now taking that advantage away, the big question becomes, how will these cars fare now at the track? Are they going to be able to continue to compete as strongly as they've been competing now that that advantage has been taken away from them?
I think so. I'm sure, you know, with the improvement, if you look again, starts with my first article of the year, Ford as a whole this year came in with some authority, you know, that they were on top of their game, making improvements. You got two Roush Fenway drivers now that are in the top 14, I believe, in points, you know, which I can't even imagine what the odds of that coming into the year would have been, because they certainly didn't look like that coming out of last year. So I think they'll be just fine going forward.
Okay. And I would agree with you. I think these are two very, very talented drivers. I think we'll continue to see them. There might be a little bump in the road here, but I think we'll continue to see them do well. And what we'll find out is how deep this organization is organized, because one of the things that makes Hendrick Motorsports so good when they encounter some of these penalties is they have developed very deep within their organization, so that when something like this happens, it's just a little hiccup that they experience. So we'll find out if that's the case here at Team Penske over this weekend and for the next few weeks to come. It'll make it fun for fans to continue watching. Now, Jay, I want to get in. We're coming down to the last minute here of the show. We posted an article online for you today about the young guns and the drivers that are coming up in the sports, who's going to be the next to take over the black hat. But I want to get into what your next article is going to be. What are you working on for fans to watch for next from you?
Again, I had to shift it in what I was planning on doing, and I had to bump it up a little earlier than I was planning. But I'm going to look at what Junior Dale Earnhardt Jr. has built with Junior Motorsports, what he's done there in the Xfinity Series, starting with a one-car team, now in a four-car team, running for championships, going head-to-head with Joe Gibbs, and the process and the evolution of that.
Okay. So that'll be an interesting article for fans to read, and we'll try to get that out here in the next week or so, and you can keep your eyes tuned to that. For this weekend, I've been struggling between family and NASCAR, I think, over the last few weekends, but I'm really going to make a concerted effort here to get all the previews up this weekend. I have the NASCAR news and notes for the Camping World Truck Series ready for tomorrow. We'll have the Xfinity Series preview up on Saturday, and of course our NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series up on Sunday. So you can watch for those at Fan for Racing as well. And then we always, of course, include the NASCAR Wire articles that come out from Reed Spencer and their staff reports that come out on the NASCAR Wire. So definitely watch for those to be coming out this weekend as well. Jay, we've done it again. We've made it through another NASCAR weekend preview. A lot of great racing going on this weekend, both at South Boston and Talladega Super Speedway.
That's right. Looking forward to all of it. I may or may not shoot over to Talladega. It's about a 3-hour drive for me. You made me feel a little bit bad there. You said you were balancing family and racing. I'm battling NASCAR racing versus dirt track racing.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's a good world to be in. But so is my family, so I can't argue there.
Well,
But
I did the family thing when I drove to Kansas and we went to a race together. How about that?
that works. That definitely works. But yeah, if you make it over to Talladega, let me know. It's probably too late for media center opportunities, but it would be great to hear your perspective from a fan in the stands taking in that race this weekend.
Okay, yeah, I'll let you know.
All right. Thanks for all that you do, Jay. We appreciate you. And fans, we appreciate all of you for tuning in to Fan for Racing Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. We will be back again next Thursday night for the NASCAR weekend preview. And before that, we'll be back here on Monday night for the review of South Boston and Talladega Super Speedway. Monday night starts at 8:30 p.m. with myself and co-host Sal Sagala. So we'll look forward to catching up with everyone for our NASCAR and race talk show Monday night on Fan for Racing Radio. And with that, I think we'll call it a wrap. Jay, have fun this weekend, everybody watching the races, and we'll catch up with you on the other side on Monday. Good night.